You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning, everyone. So good to have you. My name is Bin. Give these guys a huge round of applause. Thank you. Oh, when they were jamming, I kind of felt that I was, I don't know, at some kind of a groovy place. It was so cool. Thank you so much. I'm one of the pastors and leaders here, and I get the joy of sharing God's word on this very, very special occasion. I'll tell you why it's special, because if this never took place, this moment 2,000 years ago, the resurrection, in other words, Jesus died and rose, if it never took place, then I tell you right now, we are wasting our time. We are wasting our time. Without the resurrection, there will be no Christianity. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ if you do not believe that he died and then 3 days later, he rose. Because if he died and never came back, then he's just like any other person who had all these promises of whatever hope and future life and forgiveness of sin. But if he died and never rose, then they're just dead promises. But praise God. Praise God. Today, we remember what took place 2,000 years ago. So as we sung those songs, as we worship him, you probably noticed there was something extra, right? There was a bit of oomph and gusto. Because we really meant what we were seeing, that he rose for our faith. He rose to set us free and that we have a relationship with the Father. And that's the reason why today around the world, the purpose of today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you right now, if he never came back, then we are just wasting our time. And praise God, he rose from the grave. Risen in power and glory over sin, risen over suffering, risen over Satan to set us free, risen to be our Lord because he conquered death and he rules and reigns today, risen to be our Savior because he is the only one who is able to save us from our sin. I tell you right now, if there's no resurrection, we are still in our sin. We are still not saved. We are still not justified. And we will still not have an eternal hope. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said those very words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read you the word of God from verse 14 and 15. Paul says these words, "And if Christ has not been raised..." So he's telling the Christians, the early Christians, some 20 years after the resurrection, then all our preaching is useless. In other words, all the teaching from Paul and all the other apostles, pointless, useless, and your faith is useless. He says, "And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave." Paul is saying, if he never came back, that our teaching is useless, it is pointless, and we're liars, we're jokers, that's what he's saying. And then he goes on in verse 17, he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith, all the people who follow the teaching of these apostles, because your faith is futile or useless," and he says, "and you are still guilty of your sins." These are bold claims. And Paul is saying, if there's no resurrection, then we're just jokers, we're just liars, and everyone's faith is pointless. And I tell you right now, as a preacher of the gospel, I really believe in the resurrection. I really believe that someone died and 3 days came back to life, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I want to prove to you, I want to tell you why I'm so convinced. And for some of you, maybe this is to confirm your faith. And for others, maybe it's to start the journey of exploring this man who died for you, but not only died, he rose for you. I'll give some reasons why I think and I'm convinced. Number one is the bold claims from the apostles. You remember the gospel, right? Jesus died, and you read the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. He rose, and then he went to visit his friends, the apostles, the disciples. And if you remember, some of them thought that he was a ghost, yeah? You know, I had someone who asked me many years ago, and I could see where this guy was going. He was having a crack at me for my faith. He says, "Bin, do you really believe that he died and rose? Like, surely it's like, it's all symbolic. Like, his spirit lives in these people, and now his spirit lives in you. He didn't surely die and rose." Yeah, I have a problem with that, because I tell you right now, I don't want to worship anyone who is in the spirit and symbolically rose for me. I want to worship someone who's alive. Someone who died and rose and today is alive and living and rule and reign. And you see, the apostles here, at first they thought that, is this like the spirit of Jesus? Is this the ghost of Jesus? And you remember what Jesus said? If you remember, if you read the gospel, he said what? Touch me. He says, touch me. Look at my wounds. Yeah, flesh and blood, touch me. And what he's doing, he's saying that if I'm a spirit, if I'm a ghost, then surely the flesh, the blood, the wounds is not a ghost. And do you remember what happens next? He said to some of them, I'm a bit what? I'm a bit hungry. Remember? And so next minute they're eating what? Fish. Maybe fish and chips. I'm not quite sure, right? But what he's saying is that if I am not the bodily human resurrected form, surely I won't be hungry. Surely he can't touch me and feel me. And these disciples, they saw him, they touched him, they ate with him, and the Bible tells us they worshipped him. Why? Because it was him. And because of that, they began to boldly proclaim that he died and he rose. The early teachings of these men were all about the resurrection, that he is the true Messiah. Why? Because he died and he rose. If he never came back, then he's just another false Messiah. But not this one. He died, he rose, and we saw him, we touched him, we ate with him, and we worshiped him. And that's the reason why, if you remember Peter, remember Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times? He was afraid. He was a coward. But it was Peter who then boldly proclaimed to the thousand, he says that, I saw him. I witnessed him. I'll show you that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, 24, Peter stood before thousand, and this is what he said. You nailed him. This is the same Peter who was afraid, hiding and denying. He says, you nailed him to the cross and you killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. For death could not keep in its grip. Peter says, no, he's not dead. He's alive. God raised him. And later on in verse 32, Peter says this, God raised him. See, he reiterates the resurrection from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. We saw this. We met him. We touched him, we ate with him, and we worship him. That's the reason why we boldly proclaim that he is alive. And I'll tell you something. You read history and you find out that all these apostles and the many early church leaders, they all died horrific deaths because of their claim that he is alive. They did not back down what they saw. Think about this. Why would you want to die horrific deaths for something that didn't take place? For something that you made up? Surely someone would buckle in and say, oh, you know, we made this all up. But no, every single one of them said that we would die because we saw him and we touched him and we ate with him and he died and he rose for our faith and we would die for that. That's convinced me that he's alive. I'll give you another reason. The Christian faith today still stands. Look around. This is our second service. First service was packed as well. There are many people here today who have made the decision to follow Jesus. You know, just yesterday, 550 people were baptized at the Swan River. Unbelievable. God is still saving people, transforming lives. In Melbourne, yesterday as well, around 400 people were baptized in Melbourne in a swamp or a lake because they don't have a nice river like ours. That's a joke. I think it was at the Mornington Peninsula. But here's my point. Surely if this whole thing was made up and he is not alive, the Christian faith should have died off some years after the death of these apostles. But no, look around you. Later on, we get to baptize beautiful people who God, in his grace, have saved them. And today they stand before their family and friend and says, yeah, I'm following Jesus because he died and he rose for me. 2.4 billion people today follow Jesus. If this was something that was made up, surely it would have died out years after Jesus and the apostle. But look around us today. C.S. Lewis, he says this, I quote him, "Now Christ's resurrection is a historical event on which the fate of the gospel largely depends. If he, that is Jesus, had not risen, the Christian movement would have been destroyed within a few years. What started in Galilee moves throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and all the way here to Australia. Aussies today giving their lives to Jesus because he's alive. He rules and he reigns. That's why I love our corporate gatherings. That's why I tell Christians all the time, make it a point together every week to worship the Lord. Here's the reason why. Because as we come together, as we sing about him, as we pray to him and hear the teaching of his word, and we look around and remind one another that we are not following Jesus alone. That there are many people here who have made the decision to follow Jesus as well. That I'm not doing this alone. All these brothers and sisters here, he's alive because the Christian faith still stands today. I'll give you one more reason. Jesus appeared to many. Hundreds. You see, 20 years after the resurrection, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. In other words, he died, buried, but that he was raised on the third day. There it is, resurrection, according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, and Cephas is Peter. And then to the 12 apostles. After that, he appeared to more than 500. You see that? Many. 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. So there was a moment in history where there were around 500 people that saw him. The bodily resurrected Jesus. And he says right here, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that's the brother of Jesus, and all the other apostles. And lastly of all, he appeared to me. And the me here is Paul. Can you see what Paul is doing? He's quite cheeky. If you look carefully in the text, he says that Jesus appeared to hundreds. Some are still alive and some have fallen asleep. Now, the falling asleep here is not them taking a big long nap and not waking. Some are dead. That's what he's saying. So he's saying there's some who have died and some who's alive. And if you don't believe me, go and find them. That's what Paul is saying. Paul says that if you think that I'm a madman for making this all up and that Jesus is not alive, go and ask some of these people who are still alive, knock on their door and ask them for yourselves. And they will tell you that they saw him. They will tell you that he's alive. And that's what he's doing right here. And Paul was so confident he said those words. Because later on in that chapter, he says these. He says that, well, if I made this all up, then I'm still dead in my sin, and your faith is pointless. And I totally agree with Paul. I totally agree with Paul, because if Jesus never rose, then gee, we are just wasting our time. Everything we do when we gather on Sunday is just a waste of time. This whole service, morning tea in between, a waste of time. And I reckon I'll be the foolish of everyone, because I do this week in and week out, open up the Word of God, preach the gospel, tell people that He died and rose for their sin, that He offers hope, that because of His death and resurrection, that you can stand freely before the Father. Gee, I'm a joker. I'm the foolish of everyone here. But that's what Paul would say. Billy Graham, he says these words, the great late Billy Graham, says, "My own faith is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without it, the resurrection, I would have nothing to preach." Nothing. If he never rose, friends, let's pack our bags and go home. Why are we sharing people about the hope we have if he never rose? But what if the resurrection is real? Wow. What if someone died and 3 days later came back? Now it changes everything. That the words he said must be true. Words like, "You're so loved by God." I tell you right now, friends, because of the resurrection, you are so loved by God. There's a God who loves you more than you can imagine. There is a God who longs for you, a God who wants to be in relationship with you. We were all once object of God's wrath. We were God's enemy. But God would love us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for our sin, to be raised for our faith. Jesus says these words in John 3:16-17. "For God so loved," that's how much He loves you and loves me, "the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him," that's Jesus, "shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." See, the resurrection is the proof that you are so loved by God. God loves you. God gave up His Son for you. His Son died, rose, because He loves you. Praise God for that. The resurrection also tells me that we are never too lost for God. There is no one here that is ever too lost or too far for God. There is no sin, no mistakes, no shortcoming that God would not forgive. I don't know if some of you here today, you feel that, well, why would God want to know me? Why would God want to save me? Why would God want a relationship with me? I am just so far gone. I am so lost. The things I did during the weeks, things I did last night, I'm so lost. I tell you right now, the resurrection tells us that no one here is too lost for God. He loves you, He's searching for you, and He will bring you home if you allow Him. You know, Jesus once shared a parable of a shepherd, you may know this, who left 99 sheep to look for that one lost sheep. And he says these words in Luke 15:5-6. "And when he finds it," that's the sheep, "he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home." You see that? No one is too lost for God. He comes and finds that lost sheep, and he puts that sheep on his shoulders, and he takes that sheep home. Home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together saying, "Come on, rejoice with me. I have found that lost sheep. The sheep didn't find me. I found it." No one here is too lost for God. God loves you. God will find you. God will take you home. He'll rescue you. And when you come home, He's going to call all His neighbors and all His friends and say, "Look with me. Look, look. Rejoice. I found that lost son, that lost daughter. I'm taking him, her home." there is no sin, no mistakes that God will not forgive. The psalmist writes these words in Psalms 103:12, "For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." He removes your sin. He wipes it clean. How do I know that? Because He died without sin and He rose to set us free. That's how I know that. I tell you something else. If the resurrection is true, He offers new hope. He offers new hope, new life. You know, we live in such a chaotic world. Amen. This world is so broken. Sometimes I wish I could just rewind time and go back to the 80s. Just grew up in the 80s when I was riding around with my bicycles and no mobile phones and trampolines without the safety net. You know, when things were a lot easier and more chilled. I look at the world today and I think of my children and my children's children. And I think about the future and I go, wow, it's a messed up world. Such a broken world. So much sin and so much evil, and sometimes I feel that maybe evil has the upper hand because this world is so wicked. But the resurrection reminds me that there's a hope in the Lord, that even in my worst days, I can still keep moving forward because there's an eternal hope, that I know the end of my story, that I get to enjoy Him forevermore, that I will be in the presence of my Savior, the one who died and rose for me, and I would worship Him forevermore. The resurrection offers us that new hope. And I don't know whether you have that. I don't know whether you're living a life where there's no hope and all around you is just hopelessness. But I'm here this morning to tell you the good news that the resurrection offers you new hope. Hope in the Lord. Let me read you the lyrics from a very old hymn. Some of you may know this. The hymn is titled, "Because He Lives." Because He lives. See, God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. And He came to love, to heal, and to forgive. He lived and He died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Now, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I have a hope. Because He lives, all my fears is gone. I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Why? Because He's not dead. Not because He's in the grave. Because the tomb is empty and He lives. That's my hope. And I want you to know that. God loves you. No one here is too far for God's love. And He offers you an eternal hope. Let me pray and I'll give you a moment to respond to the teaching of God's word. Lord, thank You so much for living that life that we ought to live and we can't. You lived that perfect life. You died for our sins. But thank You that You're alive. You rose for our faith. And today we live knowing that there's such hope. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here this day. Lord, anyone here who do not know You, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, will You do a work in their hearts to let them know they're so loved by You, that You did die and You rose for them. Oh Lord, will You do that work right now? You know, friends, I wanna just take this moment here just to ask anyone who would like to respond to the gospel. Maybe you've come here because it's Easter.